This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 169, Stress Reduction. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello and welcome everyone to the Building Resilience Podcast. Before we get started today, I just wanted to let you know that I am doing a special class tomorrow, March 14th at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's called It's Not Your Thoughts, It's Your Nervous System. I am super excited about it because the nervous system, as I am always preaching, is the foundation to everything. So it's well worth your time investing in learning about it. I will be sharing at the end of my presentation all about a new program I'm going to be offering, which I'm even more excited about. So you can stay and hear about that, or you can leave after my presentation. It's all good. There's a link to sign up for it in the show notes, or you can visit me at Leah Davidson Life Coaching on Instagram or Facebook, and you can find the link there too. Now, we are going to be talking about stress reduction versus stress resilience over the next little bit, because both are necessary for handling the stressors in our lives. And today we're going to be focusing on stress reduction. Now, I first talked all about what stress is way back on episode 25, so you can go ahead and check that out. And I've done a few different episodes about stress over the years, but that is the introductory one. But I'm going to give you a quick review here. Stress is actually the physical reaction to a perceived threat. So we all have these stressors in our life, and they can be external, meaning that what gets triggered in us by things that happen to us from the environment. So they're external to us, circumstances, other people, work, traffic. So they can be things that are happening in the world at large, or it can just be things that are happening to you personally. Or stressors can be internal, our own thoughts, emotions, images, stories, dialogue, that inner critic that we have in us. And both, of course, can be happening all at once. Our nervous system and our brain counters these stressors. And then it does a quick scan to see if it resonates with something from the past, all our past learning, our past memories, our past sensations. Do we have an experience long ago about the same stressor? Is this familiar to something or someone else that we have witnessed? We may not even remember it, but our brain and our nervous system does. Our nervous system wants to know if we've been here before. And based on that past learning, it makes some predictions about what can happen and how we should respond. Now, this nervous system is also constantly scanning for danger and safety. Danger because it wants to protect us, and it will pick up on perceived threats. And note, again, the word perceived. Doesn't have to be a real threat. If there is a real threat, then great, we will respond appropriately. But for the most part, the nervous system, when it picks up on a threat, it's perceived because we are safe. The threat is merely perceived. But then our body responds as if it's still in danger. We have this physiological response to what our nervous system picks up. And you've heard me say this before, that when we enter into this stress response, when we get activated, when we're heading into survival, we lose access to our thinking skills. We lose our ability to think. So that was just a super quick recap of the stress response. Now, I mentioned that there are both external stressors that trigger us and the internal. Both are around. Both can show up separately or together. And there are some common solutions, but there are also some different solutions. With external stressors, we most often want to first do what we call stress reduction. You want to try to get rid of any stressors that you can get rid of. It makes sense. If you have pain in your butt and you see you're sitting on a tack, well, first check to see if there's things you can do to get rid of that tack, rather than start working on like acceptance or mindset All good things, of course. But first, can you just simply reduce the stress? I like to talk to people about the math of life and the drama of life. I use this a lot when people talk about being overwhelmed and having too much to do. I get them to do the math. List out everything you have to do with estimated times required to do the task. Do you have enough time? What is the actual math? Or are you setting yourself up for failure because the math just doesn't fit? Are you trying to do 30 hours in 24? Because you're never going to drop the overwhelm if you're trying to do too much and it actually is impossible. The other example I love to use is booking a trip on an airplane. You try to get as direct a flight as possible. You reduce the number of connections. If you have connections, you make sure that you have enough time in between. You consider the different airports, having carry-on bag only, having all your documents ready. You try to do what you can do to make sure that you're going to have a smooth flight. Now, when you do that, things can still go wrong. Delays, bad weather, lost baggage. So we'll get into that when we talk about stress resilience. But first, you try to reduce the chance of problems. You reduce the stress. It's kind of like prevention. So we have the math and the thoughtful ticket booking. Now we're going to look at the drama. The drama is all the other stuff. What you tell yourself about the stressors. It's not fair. I shouldn't have to deal with this. You often will end up using sort of these overgeneralized terms like always and never. You complain, you exaggerate, you let your brain worry, you go far into the future, you lament the past. So with my plane ticket analogy, you may start complaining that there's too many connections or there's long lineups, that there's bad service, that there's no airplane food. This is the drama and it's totally normal. It's letting your brain though run wild and is not usually going to be helpful. But Leah, what happens if things really are impossible? What if I really do have too much to do? And that may be a very real possibility. That's the math that we're trying to figure out. In fact, for many of us, it is the way of life right now. But I want to offer to you, if you already have too much to do, then adding extra layers of all the drama, it's not going to help you and it's not going to help anything. All it does is raise your levels of stress even more. So the first place we want to look at is stress reduction. Is there a way to simply reduce the tasks? Are there things that you can do to do stress reduction? And I'm going to share with you a couple of things for you to consider. There are actually a lot of things that you can do. I encourage you to try out different things because you are a unique person. So not all the tools are going to work for you. I'm offering just three simple tools today that you can check out that can help you with actual stress reduction. These are some basic foundational ones to get you started with the math, the stress reduction. The first one is start with defining your circle of control. I know it seems kind of basic, right? You want to make sure you have a clear idea of what is actually in your locus of control versus what you think you can influence. Now, you may include both general and specific things. I get people to write it out because you actually want to see what area you are investing the most time in. It can be really eye-opening to see the things you can control and you're not focusing on, and the things that you can't control and you are spinning and spinning and spinning about them. So this is the first place to start. You can either draw a circle within a circle, or you can just draw up two lists, then decide and clearly label one as within my control and one as outside my control. And then sit down and complete each section based on whatever challenge you're coming across right now. You may decide to do this for that particular challenge that you're dealing with, or you could also try to do it just in general. What can I control in my life? What is out of my control? What are some things that are just naturally out of your control? Well, things like the weather, traffic, what someone thinks of me, what my adult children decide to do, whether my friend decides to answer my message, whether my boss texts me at a certain time, whether somebody gives me certain validation. Now, I do know that many people like to comment on, well, I may not be able to control things, but I think I can influence them. And yes, I agree. I think you can sometimes. I am all for influencing when we can. But it becomes a really slippy slope when you start trying to influence to really try to control things. You can make an attempt to influence, but you have to let go of the outcome. For example, I can't control if my young adult child decides to go to school or not. I can try to influence them by sharing all the reasons why I think it's a good idea, but I really do need to let go of the outcome, whether they go or not. It is not in my control. So you're going to complete the list of what you can't control and complete the list of what you can control. What can you control in general? Your response, your attitude, what you do when you're dysregulated, how you invest in your nervous system, how you show up, whether you take action or not, the route that you take to work, whether you bring an umbrella or not. So you can get super specific about things that what you will do or not do, how you will or will not show up. Notice it is really centered on you. And what I'll offer is what we can control is actually centered on regulated you. And we've already talked about how we're confronted with stressors. Our nervous system has a reaction. It's physiological. It's not cognitive. It's not a choice. We will then respond from the state that we're assigned to. So if we're safe and we go to our zone of resilience, then we will have all our functions online and we have full control over our response. But if we go into an activated state, then we need to learn how to regulate, learn how to get our CEO back online. And that is what I teach my clients. The example I like to give is I can't control who comes knocking at my door, but I can decide if I let them in, if they stay for supper, if they set up the guest room. So what we can control is always best to control from a place of regulation. Once you look at your list of things that you can control, you can often see if you just stayed focused on that list, it would probably keep you busy for a lifetime. But check in with your list. How much time are you investing in things that are actually out of your control? How many things are you trying to influence secretly, hoping you will be able to control them? And how many things and how much time and how much investment do you have on the things that you can control? So that is just one simple tool that you can use to reduce your stress levels by focusing on what is within your locus of control. Now, the next tool, if you do feel like you have too much to do or too many things going on, I want to encourage you to just get it out of your head. Make a big old list. I usually divide my lists into work and personal. Your brain has a limited capacity. And you don't want to be using your capacity and energy storing information that can be recorded on paper or a device. There is only so much space. So if you're using that space to hold information, it actually can get overwhelmed and you'll use all your resources for storage and then not be able to have any leftover to think. It's kind of like it gets filled up with a snack and then you have no room for the main meal. Getting things out on paper gives you perspective as well, and it removes the burden from your brain. It frees up all your precious resources. Writing it out also helps you to really be a bit more objective. You can really see if you have a list that is a mile long, that's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to get it all done. It's easier to go through and evaluate the items when they have been written down. I'll also encourage people that beside each item, put a best guess of the amount of time it will take to do the task. Capture it all on paper. Capture how long you think things will take, which kind of leads me to the last tool that I love for stress reduction. You might have heard of it already. It's the 4D of time management. Now, I first read about it years and years ago in the book Getting Things Done by David Allen. I'm not sure if he created this system, if he was the first one. I've seen it written about in tons of books and online, but that's where I first learned about it years ago. This is a tool I've actually taught my clients for many years as well. Basically, it is a way of listing what you have to do and prioritizing what you have to do. So the four D's stand for, the first one is discard or delete. The second one is do. The third one is delegate. And the fourth one is delay or defer. Let's start with discard and delete. Right away, just get rid of things you know that you're not going to do. Now, these can include things that have been on your list forever, things that are really not important to you. Maybe things you just think you should do. Could be emails that you're never going to read and you're never going to get to. Just ditch them. Don't allow them to take up the space. I kind of think of it like leftovers. Sometimes after dinner, we have leftovers, and I'm always so excited to put them in a container and have them for lunch the next day. Maybe it was a really good meal, and I know I'll appreciate having the leftovers. But sometimes the meal was meh, or there is only like little scraps left, and I might start to put it in the container, and my husband Rob will say, "Are you just putting it in a container so you can put it in the fridge and end up throwing it out in a week?" Yeah, sometimes I end up doing that. Well, then you might as well just toss it right away. Don't be afraid to toss things, whether it's physical things like leftovers or things I no longer want, or emotional things like memorized emotions or unhelpful thoughts or things that are on your to-do list that realistically really don't need doing and they're not likely going to get done. So up front, just delete and discard. The next D is do. I have a saying in my house, if you touch it, you do it. Meaning don't be touching a simple thing 100 times, moving it from one place to another place before doing it. If it takes like 5 to 7 minutes, just do it. You may not even bother writing it on a list. It will just get done. So like throw the laundry in the bin instead of leaving it on the floor for days and then moving it to the bin. Can you tell that was an issue with some of my kids? Because that was the first example that comes to my mind. Now, I use this one for responding to emails too. Sometimes rather than put on my list, get back to this person, if it can be a super quick response, I'll just do it then. Now, the third D is to delegate. Is there someone else who can do this for you? Should someone already be doing this for you? Is this somebody else's responsibility, really? Now, this can be a really tricky one for perfectionists. It can also be hard for people to do initially, because sometimes you have to invest some time up front to teach somebody how to do something, but it can save you time later. Be okay with not being perfect. Teach someone how to do something, and then trust that it will all be fine. Delegation can be a very powerful way of reducing your stress and can provide somebody else with the opportunity to learn as well. And then lastly, delay or defer. This one sounds a bit like procrastination, but it's actually far from it. Delay or defer does not mean forever delay. It actually means it is important to do, but I'm going to do it later. Now, the important piece is you have to schedule it in to do it later. It really is a delay, defer, and plan step. Your brain really can only relax if it knows that whatever it needs to do has been captured and there is time set aside to do it. So delay and defer, pull your calendar out. When can I do this task? You may even need to work backwards. One of the greatest secrets to success is to work backwards. As Stephen Covey famously said, begin with the end in mind. Decide what you want your end goal to be. Then work your way back from there. Ask yourself these questions. What would I have to do to achieve that goal or complete this task? What is the deadline? What do I need to have done the week before? Or the month before, 2 months before, right now. So you can schedule in all the steps. You can schedule in these tiny steps. And when you do this, you are much more likely to succeed. So delay and defer, but schedule and plan as well. So those are stress reduction techniques, just a few simple sample ones. These are the things when you are essentially trying to change your circumstance. And it is okay to do that if your circumstances are within your control. So play around, get creative with how you can reduce your stressors by stress reduction. Maybe it comes by cutting back on certain activities or hiring more help, getting prepared meals or taking the train instead of driving, trading babysitting with a friend, using a cleaning service, cutting back on eating out or increasing eating in. That's the thing. We all respond differently to different stressors based on our past learning, our mindsets, our genetics, our zone of resilience. So you need to play around to try to figure things out for yourself. Shop around for a little bit, find the best plane ticket that you can. And then in an upcoming episode, I'm going to talk about what happens when you've purchased the most direct flight, but the flight is delayed or they lose your luggage. Then we have to rely on stress resilience. But until then, see if you can use stress reduction tools to reduce as many stressors as you can. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.